Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Over the past month, allegations have intensified that the United Nations, UNRWA, has been infiltrated by Hamas, and that some of its staff participated and supported acts of terror. Okay, so these claims have become really, really significant, because the question is, what impact this has, firstly, and how that impacts, or what the consequence of Israel's decisions and how they manage the Gazan situation in terms of their obligations. We're joined this morning by John Day. He is a U.S. attorney, and we wanted to understand from him how much evidence is required in court for UNRWA's affiliation with Hamas to be confirmed. And this is actually a theme of many of the October 7th attacks. And I've mentioned this a number of times when I was still allowed to write for News 24. They would never allow me to talk about the sexual assaults that have been filmed, documented, etc., without the word alleged, as though a certain level of proof was required, perhaps by a court of law. And it's almost mirrored now by the approach to UNRWA. John Day, good morning. Thank you for joining us. What is the actual legal question being asked about UNRWA, and even taking it one step further to what I mentioned before about the sexual assaults?
Well, you know, let's go back up a little bit. The starting place for each court is what that court wants to hear. And in the case of for example, in the UN and the International Court of Justice, which is the, you know, one of the six major arms of the UN, they get to write their own rules, they get to set their own standards. And when it, you know, and again, the starting place is what enforcement powers, if any, does this international court have? Does this arm of the UN have? And it goes back to simply, what is the UN willing to do? But the court itself gets to decide what it wants to, what standard it's going to consider when the parties present the evidence. And, you know, the criticism, major criticism for years of the International Court of Justice, is that one, it doesn't have any enforcement teeth, it relies on the UN. Two, it's biased, and the bias is where it kind of brings us back to your starting place, which is that the members of the court are going to be biased in favor of whatever country or judicial system appointed them. And so what that gets us to is the issue of International Court of Justice and its decisions on Israel, which Israel rejects, the United States rejects them, saying that they're biased. And at the end of the day, anything that goes before the International Court of Justice, the parties have to consent to being heard there. And there's no teeth to it. There's no enforcement power. If Israel and the United States say, look, you're biased from the start, and especially on this issue of UNRWA and Hamas infiltration, Hamas co-opting the mission of UNRWA, you can simply choose to ignore it. I mean, that's,
well, especially because it's a criticism of the very organization that is hearing the case. UNRWA is a United Nations organization, which is now, so this is almost an internal review, but not really, because it doesn't seem to hold itself to that standard.
Right. And again, you know, it kind of gets back to the concept. Look, what has Donald Trump been so effective here in the U.S. at? And that is trying to minimize and diminish the authority, or the supposed authority, of the U.N. when it comes to dealing with American issues and American-led issues. Same thing with when it comes to issues regarding Israel. I mean, at the end of the day, Israel, the United States, any other nation can say we don't consent to jurisdiction, because both this is different than the International Criminal Court. Both of these are headquartered in The Hague in the Netherlands, but they're two different entities, and the International Court of Justice is simply the judicial arm of the United Nations. And again, the starting place is what's the criticism there, and what's the effectiveness, and what's the legitimacy. So the issue of Hamas infiltration and co-opting of UNRWA, while the member parties of the UN may want to address that, if Israel and the US choose to ignore this, I mean, there's no teeth. There are no teeth here. There are no enforcement.
So how much weight could be placed on this?
I mean, how much weight do the countries want to place on it? I mean, how much weight does, you know, Israel can effectively, and what it does is rejects anything that apparently would be what it would consider a biased decision, and it's going to be getting this. It has gotten consistently getting the support of the U.S., and not necessarily just under the Trump administration, but prior administrations, both Democratic and Republican, but especially currently. So the weight of a decision in that court simply depends on whether the parties are going to agree to consent to whatever comes out of the court. And in these cases, when Israel makes the allegation that UNRWA is co-opted, that's corrupted and infiltrated by Hamas supporters, Hamas members, and Hamas sympathizers, nothing's going to happen. I mean, if they choose to ignore it, all that's going to happen is the UN will say, we wish you would abide by our court's decisions. But that's it. At the end of the day, that's all that is going to happen.
In other words, it is really performative. And all it really does is give biased news agencies and biased actors just more ammunition or a few sound bites to demonize Israel further.
Well, I mean, that's right. I mean, at the end of the day, that's, Israel, the United States, any other participating country could choose to abide by any opinion, any decision that comes down from the court, or they can say, look, you know, the evidence here is that the parties are, you know, that the issue at hand is not one that we think is fair and just, because, and here's why. For example, in the UNRWA situation, it is Israel, you know, attempting to offer proof of the infiltration of a key United Nations agency by parties that are, you know, their goal is the elimination of Israel. So if that is the
But I mean, there has been very real evidence. We've heard from hostages who were held at UNRWA facilities. We've heard from hostages who were being held by UNRWA personnel. We've seen lists of UNRWA personnel that took part in the October 7th attacks. There's an enormous amount of evidence. I remember early on in the war, one of the UNRWA facilities actually was supplying electricity to the bunkers below that belonged to Hamas. It's the evidence. It's pages and pages long. What more would the court have wanted in order to accept that this is a problem?
Well, again, it gets back to who are the members of the court. Mm-hmm. Where are they coming from? What's the what is their the position of the member countries toward Israel right now? So what's going on? I think, as you know, there's one that the vice president of the court, Ms. Sebatinde from Uganda,
yes,
has been a relatively she has not followed the path that other justices on the court have. She's been willing to strike out on her own. And in her view, when it's important to point out that, that maybe Israel is being treated unfairly by the court, she's not afraid to say that. And that's been consistently her situation.
That is where we do need to leave it. John Day, thank you. As always, incredibly frustrating, because it is really a situation where it's set up to fail. It's almost like this Kafkaesque type of situation.